Today I want to talk to you about a story from the Bible that many people are familiar with, whether they go to church or not, and that is the story of Jonah. And what do we know about Jonah? We know about Jonah and the whale, right? Which I'll get to in a minute, because actually the story doesn't say that it was necessarily a whale. It was just a great big fish. But because whales are some of the biggest fishes we know, that's usually what we think of, that it could have been a whale that swallowed Jonah. But I want to tell you the whole story, and it's not very long, but it's a very interesting and fascinating story that is full of action and drama. And it begins with Jonah just going about his daily business as a man of God, as a prophet. A prophet is someone who can hear the voice of God. And the voice of God, the word of the Lord, came to Jonah. And he said to Jonah, "Jonah, I want you to go to the great city of Nineveh, and I want you to preach against it, because its wickedness is very great." Now, Jonah, being a prophet, was a person who had heard the word of God many times. And as a prophet, his job was to go and obey the word of God. But this time, Jonah does the exact opposite. He does not want to do what God said. And you may wonder, well, why doesn't he want to do what God said? What is it about Nineveh? What is it about those people that he doesn't want to go and proclaim this word to them? Well, we know that God said this city was full of great wickedness. And I want to tell you, the wickedness of Nineveh was like nothing that we've ever seen. Or if we have, only from the worst of the worst, the most evil of the most evil. For Nineveh was a city of the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were famous for their cruelty and for their wickedness. In fact, you can think about the most evil, cruel regime that you can think of. For many of us, maybe we go to the Nazis. Take that times 10 and you have what the Assyrians were. They were cruel. They were violent. They did all kinds of horrible things to women and children. The people that they captured, one of the things they loved to do was cut off their heads and put their heads on a pole and pour oil on it and light them as torches along their street. So this is a bad place. Maybe we could understand why Jonah doesn't even want to go near a city like this, because of course he is an Israelite. And his people are enemies of the Assyrians. And his people have suffered some of the cruelties that the Assyrians have done to them. It's like being asked to go into the worst of your enemies. It might be like God coming and saying to me, "Phil, I want you to go into the most satanic, occultish place you can find, where they worship demons and do all this horrible stuff. And I want you to walk in there and to preach." And I might be like, "Lord, I don't even like scary movies. I'm not sure that I want to go into any place like that," all right? But Jonah is upset. Jonah is so upset that he just doesn't disobey God. He turns and runs in the opposite direction. If Nineveh is this way, Jonah says, "I'm going as far away as I can." And the story tells us that he went down to the city called Joppa, which was by the Mediterranean Sea. And in the city of Joppa, he finds a boat that's headed for Tarshish, which is way on the other side of the Mediterranean Sea. And he has the money, and he pays the fare, and he gets the ticket, and he goes on the boat that's headed as far away from where God wants him to be as possible. And he goes down into the bottom of the boat, and down there he falls into a deep sleep. Now it says that the Lord threw a storm at Jonah in this boat. I mean, the Lord stirred up the water, the wind, and the waves, and the sailors began to freak out. They had no idea what was happening. Now, these sailors didn't know about Jonah's God, the God that proclaimed to be the one true living God, the God who said, "My name is Yahweh, and there is no other God. There is no one like me." They didn't know about him, so they started praying to their gods. They started doing everything they could. They started lighting candles and praying and doing everything to figure out how they could get this storm to stop, because they thought they were going to die. They tried throwing things overboard. They're throwing the cargo overboard. They're getting rid of everything because they just want to survive this storm. And finally, the captain says, like he does, "All hands need to be on deck. Where is that guy, Jonah?" "Well, he's asleep, captain, down in the bottom of the boat." The captain's like, "What? How can you sleep through this storm?" And he goes down into the bottom of the boat and he wakes Jonah up and he says, "Get up, we're about to die. Tell us what is going on." And so they decided when they were all together that they were going to cast lots. They were going to roll the dice to see who was responsible for this storm that was just about to kill them. And when they rolled the dice, Jonah's number came up. And they looked at Jonah and they started asking questions. "Who are you? What have you done? Where do you come from? What kind of God do you serve? What is going on, Jonah? Tell us." And Jonah told them that he was running from his God. that he was trying to get away from Yahweh. He said, because I am Jonah, and I'm a Hebrew, and we worship Yahweh, and Yahweh has sent this storm, and I know it's my fault, and I'm the one that is responsible for this horrible storm. And the sailors look at him, and they say, what have you done? And then they asked him, well, what can we do to appease your God who is threatening to destroy us with this storm? Jonah said, there's only one thing you can do. Throw me into the sea and this storm will stop. Now, the sailors were good-hearted men. They didn't really want to kill anybody, right? They're not violent or bloodthirsty. They're just some guys going about their business, trying to get their work done. So they kept trying to row to the shore. They kept trying to do everything they could to save themselves and Jonah so they wouldn't have to do what Jonah told them the Lord said to do, which was throw him overboard. But finally, they realized that their efforts could not save them. And they decided that they would do what Jonah said. But they began to call out to Jonah's God. Jonah's God, yes, you, Jonah's God, please don't hold us accountable for this man's life. We don't want to kill him, but he says that we've got to throw him overboard. God, we don't know what else to do. Please forgive us. And they take Jonah and they throw him into the sea. And Jonah sinks down, and it says that God provided a big fish to swallow up Jonah. It could have been a sperm whale, like this picture you see behind me. It could have been maybe a blue whale or a humpback whale. We don't know. It could have even been a great white shark. There's lots of creatures that have a stomach big enough to hold a human. Many people believe it could even be a sea monster, some kind of creature that we even haven't seen, something that we haven't even imagined yet, because this was a special thing that was provided by God to swallow him up. But I want you to think about what it must have been like for Jonah inside the stomach of this beast, okay? For if it was a sperm whale like this, you know what one of their favorite food is? Squid. So Jonah's down in the stomach with squid and all the ink and all the grossness, and there's the stomach acids and there's the fluids and there's all kinds of, you know, sushi swimming around, you know, and there's just stuff everywhere and it's dark, and you can just imagine how gross and nasty and the acid of the stomach and everything that's happening to Jonah in the belly of this whale because he was running so far from the word of God in his life. And it's in the whale. It's in that place that Jonah begins to reconnect with God. And he does it through prayer and through worship. In fact, he remembers all of the psalms, all of the prayers that his parents had told him that had been passed down through the generations of his people. And he begins to just grab. It would be like us just grabbing different lines from praise songs, just grabbing all kinds of things out of our memory because of the situation we're in. And he begins to cry out to God. He says, God, in my distress, I cried out to you, and you answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called out to you, and you heard my cry. God, you hurled me into the depth of the sea, and the currents and the waves began to circle around me, and they began to crash over my head. And I said, I'm done for. I'm banished from the Lord's sight. But here in this dark place, I will turn my eyes to your temple. God, I'm in the worst possible place. Everything is coming over my head. The waters are surrounding me. They're engulfing me. There's seaweed wrapped around my head, and I'm sinking deep, deep, deep to the roots of the mountains of the earth. And the earth has barred me in like a prison forever. But you, O God, can redeem my life. Amen. From this pit. When I felt my life just ebbing away from me, I cried out to you, God, and you rescued my life from the grave. Those who worship idols and other gods, they turn away from your love. But I'm telling you, God, if you get me out of this place, how many know that prayer? If you get me out of this place, God, I will get to the temple. I will praise you again. I will get there and offer sacrifices. I'll burn incense. I'll light candles. I'll do everything, God, I'm supposed to do. And I will tell people salvation comes from Yahweh alone. Oh, God. And then the Lord spoke to this fish, said, spit him out. And the fish threw up Jonah onto the dry land. And then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. and said, Jonah, yes, Lord, it's me again. I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach what I tell you against it. And this time, Jonah obeys. Because when you try to run from God and find that you can't, you realize that it's better to obey than to try it again. And Jonah walks into the city of Nineveh. And as he was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, he enters Nineveh, where it takes 3 days to walk through the city of Nineveh. And he proclaims a simple message that God gives him: 40 more days and you're all going to be destroyed. That's quite a sermon, isn't it? How would you like to hear that sermon? 40 more days and you're going to be destroyed. Thank you. God bless. Happy New Year. That's all he said. 40 more days and you're going to be destroyed. And he goes to and it says that the king of this great city, this king who is a bloodthirsty, violent man who promotes wickedness, he believes Jonah. Like on the spot. Like Jonah says, you're going to be destroyed. And the king says, uh-oh, we're in trouble. And he tells everyone in the kingdom, okay, nobody's going to eat. We're all going to fast. Don't even feed your animals. Don't even feed your cats. Don't even feed your dogs or even your cute bunny rabbits. Don't feed anything. Take off all your fancy clothes. Put on sackcloth. Put ashes on your head. Let's really repent. Change our ways. He said, quit doing our wickedness. Stop what we're doing. Stop everything and cry out to God, because maybe, just maybe, he'll have mercy on us. Jonah didn't promise any mercy. He didn't tell them what to do. He simply said, this is what God's going to do. And when the king heard what God was going to do, he believed it. He made a decision to tell the people what they needed to do. And I've often wondered, what is it that makes Jonah's message so powerful? What is it that this king who knows nothing of this God, Yahweh, and who is not afraid of anything, suddenly listens to this prophet? Well, one, we know that the power of God was upon him, right? But check this. I think something else helped him out. Imagine what Jonah looked like after being in acid for 3 days. Imagine how white he must have looked, his hair all bleached out. Who knows what his clothes looked like, if he had any clothes left. And he was probably burned from all the acid. So imagine, this guy looked like some kind of white zombie creature from the dead, which he was, that was suddenly walking through their street. And if you saw somebody like that, you probably would listen to what they said, right? Because the king said, I haven't seen anything like this dude. I don't know where he's come from or where he's been, but it's pretty freaky. And he believed exactly what Jonah said. And you know what? God did see what they did. God did observe that they were repenting, that they were mourning, that they were lamenting. And he relented. He changed his mind. He said, I'm not going to bring destruction on you, because I want to forgive you and show you mercy and compassion. And we're like, man, that's so awesome. But Jonah was not so excited. Jonah was angry. Jonah thought God was wrong. And he said to God, this is, God, I told you you would do this. I knew that you were a God who's gracious and compassionate. I knew that you were slow to anger and abounding in love. And I just knew you were going to forgive these Assyrians. And I'm mad, God. I'm mad enough to die. And the Lord asked Jonah this question, which I think is one of the most powerful questions we can hear from God, even today in this moment. Is it right or good for you to be so angry? And Jonah said, yes, it is. And he walks outside the city, and he sits down, and he waits to see what's going to happen. And he builds himself a shelter, because the sun is hot, and it's burning down on his head. And it keeps talking about how his head was burned by the sun, so he must have had a hairdo like me. And he got to build this shelter, and he's got to protect himself. And God sends this plant, and this big, luscious, leafy green plant grows up over the shelter, and it provides this shade. And the text says that Jonah, all of a sudden, was very happy. In fact, the words are the opposite, from where he was so angry to where he was like overjoyed. He was like feeling good. I mean, that plant was like him getting a Snickers. I mean, he just felt better all of a sudden. He was like, my whole attitude has changed. I'm loving life. I got this plant. I got this shade. I'm just going to sit here and relax. But that very night, early before dawn, God sent a worm, and the worm ate up the plant and took it away. And then when the sun came up, God sent a scorching east wind, and it blew with all of its heat and fury upon Jonah's head. And he's like, man, now I'm mad again. Now I'm angry again. And he cried out to God, God, would you just kill me? I'd rather die right now. Just think about that for a minute. The one who pleaded to God for his life in the belly of the fish is now, because God was merciful and compassionate to his enemies, asking God to take his life. And the Lord asks him a second time, Jonah, is it right? Is it good for you to be so angry? And Jonah said, yes, it is, God. I'm so angry I could die. And then the Lord asked Jonah this last question. He said, this plant that grew up, you had nothing to do with it. You didn't cause it to grow. You didn't tend it. It was here one day, and the next day it was gone. And you care so much about this plant, Jonah. But there in that city of Nineveh, there's 120,000 people who are so lost, they can't tell their left hand from their right hand. And there's many animals there as well. Should I, who created them, not be concerned about them? And that's how the story of Jonah ends. With God's question dangling in the air. Isn't that great? We don't hear Jonah's answer. We don't hear his response. But that question, God said, should I not care about these people and these animals that I have created? He lets it linger in the air. Well, there's a lot of things that we can learn, that we can take away from this story of Jonah. And of course, we call it the story of Jonah and the great fish, right? And that's how we name things, because it's not just Jonah's story, but as in all great stories, it's our story. We find ourselves in some part of this story. We find some place where we enter in and we're like, you know what? I connect to that. I relate to that. And we find ourselves. So it's a story of Jonah and the fish. And really, I want to tell you today, it's a story about us. But even more than that, it's a story about God. Because it's a story about who God really is and what God wants to tell us and what God wants to say to us, right? One thing I notice about this story is that God is speaking all the time. God is telling all kinds of things. He's bringing messages. He's having conversations. God is a God that wants to communicate with his people, right? And that's why we gather here this morning, because God wants to communicate with us. We want to hear what the voice of God says to us. And the question that we have when we hear the voice of God is, what is our response to the word of God? So I want to look at this story for just a few minutes this morning. And I want to look at the different responses to the word of God and see what we can learn, see what we can gain from those different responses, right? About how the people in this story responded to the word of God. But not even the people in this story. I want to begin by looking at the fish, right? What I like about the fish heard the word of God. Amen? Did you catch that? The Lord spoke to the fish and said, spit him out. And the fish spit him out. And what I love about that is the fish obeyed God right away, right? Maybe God is looking for the obedience of fish a little more than we realize, where he speaks to the fish and the fish does. In fact, everything in nature that God speaks to, it obeys. God speaks to the wind and the wind blows. God speaks to the fish throws up. God speaks to the worm eats the plant. I mean, when God speaks to creation, creation obeys just like that. And there's no hesitation because they obey the word of their creator, right? And there's something about the fish just immediately obeying the word of God that kind of inspires me this morning. The next group of people that we have is the people of Nineveh, the Assyrians. How did they respond to the word of God? Well, it's so fascinating, isn't it? God didn't tell them what to do. He told them what he was going to do. You get that? God didn't tell them what to do. He told them what he was going to do. And when he told them what he was going to do, the king came up with his own plan and his own idea. And it was the right thing to do, because God honored it. And notice how when the king tells his people to do something, the people do it right away. So far in this story, the only people that are obeying the word of God right away are the fish and the wicked Assyrians, right? And what a contrast that must have been to Jonah, who had disobeyed and rejected the word of God, walking through Nineveh and seeing those people obey the word of their king right away. What a contrast of obedience that we see up to this point in the story. And sometimes God brings a word of judgment, a word of justice. He brings a word that what we're doing is wicked and wrong. And we see from the story our only response is to immediately change our ways. You notice that there's a humility. They didn't get angry at God for what he was about to do. They humbled themselves. They repented, which means they changed their mind and they changed their actions. They changed. They completely did a change so that God would see and have mercy on them. I mean, they desired. They called out to God the way that Jonah had cried out to God in the whale, right? And God delivered Jonah, but Jonah had a little bit of difficulty with God delivering the people of Nineveh. But we see that the people of Nineveh heard the word of God, as hard as it was, and they listened to their leader, and they followed what their leader said, and God had mercy, and God had compassion on them. But there's another group of people that we almost forget about, isn't it? The sailors. The sailors weren't supposed to be a part of this story, right? They didn't want to get involved in this. They got involved because Jonah disobeyed, because Jonah ran the opposite direction. And these sailors all of a sudden got caught up in this thing that was going on between God and Jonah, right? They got caught up in this storm, and they didn't know what was going on, right? But what I love about the sailors is that even God was being merciful and gracious to these sailors who didn't know him, who didn't know anything about him, who weren't even trying to get in on this story, but they become a part of the story, don't they? And when the word of God comes to the sailors, what do? Well, they don't obey the word of God right away, but we kind of understand, right? Because they didn't want to kill Jonah. God told them, you got to throw Jonah into the sea, but they didn't want to do that because they were good-hearted people. And we can understand that, I think. You know, sometimes we don't follow the word of God because we're trying to do it ourselves, right? They were trying to do it themselves. Let's do everything we can. Let's throw everything over. Let's row as hard as we can because we can save ourselves. Oh, does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Have you been trying to save yourself? Have you been trying to even get rid of things in your life in order to save yourself? But it just isn't working because the Lord was about to show even these sailors that salvation comes only from the Lord God. Amen. And what did they do after they obeyed the word of God and threw Jonah into the ocean? They worshiped. They worshiped God. So now we've got two groups of people that didn't know anything about God. The Assyrians and these sailors on the Mediterranean Sea. And they both come to worship God because of Jonah. And what I love about this part is that even in Jonah's disobedience, God was at work. Amen. Even though Jonah was doing the wrong thing in the wrong place at the wrong time, God was still at work. Amen? How many of you need that word this morning? Amen? That God is still at work. That God will be at work in every situation you find yourself in. Because that's what God does. And so we come finally to this character of Jonah, don't we? And in Jonah, we see someone who not only heard the word of God, he didn't just delay in fulfilling it, he ran in the opposite direction. I mean, he flat out disobeyed the word that God gave to him. And I love the way the narrative explains it and puts layers on it. It says that Jonah went down 3 times. He went down to Joppa, down into the boat, and down into the bottom of the sea, in the belly of the great fish. That's to say Jonah was low, low down. He was as far down as you can get, because 3 times he went down to get away from God. But God went after him. God went after him. 3 times God throws something. It says he threw a storm at Jonah in the boat. And then he threw him over the boat into the sea. And then he commanded the fish, and the fish threw him up onto the dry land. And 3 times God threw something, because God will not quit until he is done. Amen. 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 God will not quit until he is done. God will not relent until he has accomplished everything that he wants to accomplish. So even when we run away from God, God will pursue us. Amen. And you cannot outrun God, because he found God in the belly of the whale, in the lowest of the low. He found God again. He found his relationship with God. And when he had gone through everything he needed to go through, amen, he was ready to obey the word of God. And he went and did what God wanted him to do. And that was important, because God wanted his obedience. He wanted to have mercy and to save these Assyrians in Nineveh. God used Jonah's obedience to bring salvation and blessing to many other people. But God wasn't done yet, right? Because God doesn't quit until he's done. He doesn't stop before he's through. God will accomplish every purpose that he has. And he wanted Jonah's obedience. And he wants your obedience. And he wants my obedience. But he also wanted Jonah's heart.
Yes.
And Jonah's heart was hard. It's not enough to be saved. It's not enough to obey. Although both of those things are good and extremely important. But God, to complete his work, he wants your heart.
Yes.
He wants your heart. He wants you to know his heart. He says, that's right, Jonah. I am a gracious and compassionate God. That's right, Jonah. I am slow to anger, but you are quick to anger. I am abounding in love, but you want love only for yourself and yours, and not for your enemies. Wow. What is God trying to teach Jonah? He's trying to teach Jonah that I love and care about everything and everyone that I have created. And that's the message of the story of Jonah. That God loves everyone and everything he has created. Amen?
Amen.
That's worthy of praise.
Yes.
That's worthy of praise. And that is truly worthy of all of the praise that we can give God. Because he loves everyone. And he cares about everything that he has made. I love that he mentions the animals. He does, because the animals obeyed him. And he created them and he loved them. But at the very end of Jonah, it says there's 120,000 people and there's a whole bunch of animals as well. Jonah, I not only care about this little worm and this plant and all of the animals, but all of the people, even the enemies, even the people who are against me, I love them because I created them. And Jonah, I created you, and I love you just as much. And God wanted Jonah to know that, right? God needed to change Jonah's heart before he was done. God wanted to show Jonah, listen, this is how I want you to change, to repent, right? Because repentance comes in many levels. First of all, we need to hear the word of God, and we need to obey it. And to repent means I stop doing what I'm doing and I start doing what God tells me to do. That's the first repentance. The next repentance is I stop thinking the way that I've thought and I start thinking the way that God wants me to. And the next level of repentance is I stop feeling the way that I normally feel in my heart with hatred and bitterness towards others, and I change the very way that I feel and relate to other people.
Yes.
Because that's the repentance that God wants to bring to my heart. So repentance happens on all three levels, in our mind, in our heart, and in our will, in our actions, in what we say and what we do. And Jonah was going through everything to learn this, right? And sometimes when the storms come, we have to ask ourselves, why is there trouble in my life? Why is there a storm? Well, you can ask yourself questions from this story. Are you running from what God told you to do, like Jonah? Or are you like the sailor? You're just not even sure what's happening. But maybe, just maybe, you could ask yourself this question. Is God trying to get my attention? And that's something I think each one of us could ask when something happens in our life, right, that's difficult. We can just stop and say, God, are you trying to get my attention? Is there something that you want to say to me, God? Because God is pursuing us. God is pursuing you with a relentless passion. His love is deep. His love is strong and wild. It's furious. And he won't give up until he has you. Because that's how much he loves you and he's come after you. You're here this morning for that reason. You're not here by accident. You didn't just wander in here because that's just what happens in the universe. You're here because God called you to be here this morning.
Amen.
Somebody may have invited you to come, and that's God reaching out to you. That's God saying, hey, I'm not done with you yet. I'm reaching out to you. I have a purpose and a plan for your life because, listen, I love you. I created you, and you might not be following me right now, but I love you.
Yes.
And I'm going to do what I can to grab your attention so that you can know how much I love you and so that you can begin to obey and to follow me, because that's what we need to do. And some of us here need to hear that word that we've been trying to do everything on our own. And maybe it's time to stop and just do what God has told us to do. And what has God told us to do? He said, listen, believe in me. Believe in my love for you. Believe that I have a plan and purpose for your life. Receive my love and then be a messenger of my love. Then go after those who are lost. Go as far as you need to go to let people know that I love them and that I care for them. and that I created them. So the question I leave us with this morning is, how will you respond to the word of God, which is that he loves you and he created you and he wants to have a relationship with you? We believe here at Hartford City Church, and really every church that believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was sent by God to show us how much God loves us. That Jesus Christ, through the way he lived and what he said and taught, that he showed us what love looks like. He showed people what love for your enemies looks like. He showed people what love for those who are unlovable looks like. He showed people what love for each other really looks like. And he taught us how to love by his words and his actions. And we know also that he died on the cross to forgive us of our sins, right? And in fact, Jesus referenced this story of Jonah. Did you know that? He said, everybody is looking for some kind of sign from me, but there's only one sign you're really going to see and know. Just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, I'm going to be dead 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. But just like Jonah was resurrected to life, amen? Jesus said, I'm coming back from the grave. I'm coming back to life. Because I'm going to defeat all of your enemies. The sin, which is what, it's like the waters and the seaweed that are entangling you and dragging you down to the grave. I'm going to defeat and release you from that by my power and by my word. And he says, Satan and the enemies are true enemies of evil. He said, listen, I'm going to defeat all the powers of evil in the world and even death, which we think we can't escape from. In fact, people in the ancient world at the time Jonah happened, they believed that 3 days and three nights in the grave meant that you couldn't come back. Like if you were only dead a day, maybe you could come back, or 2 days. But 3 days and three nights was the cycle of the moon, the new moon. And they said, well, then after that, it's over. Only divine intervention can bring you back from the grave. And Jesus said, guess what? I am that divine intervention. In fact, I am God, and I will come up from the grave, just like I brought Jonah out of the fish, because I bring death to life. And I will defeat death on your behalf by my power and by my word. So how will you respond? God says, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. If you receive God's love into your heart, when you die, you can know that you will be with God forever. And more than that, the moment you believe and receive Jesus, his spirit enters you. Your connection with God is restored. Your healing and restoration begins. And that's the heart of what we want to proclaim in this gathering at Hartford City Church. Is that we invite you to receive the love of God through Jesus Christ and believe in him so that your restoration, your healing can begin and you can become everything that God has created you to be. And if you've never done that this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. So would you bow with me in prayer? And I simply ask you just to focus your mind however you want to on the presence of God in your life and in this room. And I want you just to think about this truth we proclaim, that God loves and cares for you because he created you. What does that do to your heart and your mind in this moment? Just thinking about that God loves you and cares for you. He created you. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never received his love, then I want to invite you to do that right now. This may be your moment, and I don't know who it's for. But if it's for you, then I invite you to just pray and say, God, I believe in Jesus Christ. I receive you into my life. And if you pray that with all your heart, God will come in and begin to forgive you and restore you and heal you. And I pray that would happen for each and every person this morning. Just say, Jesus Christ, I believe in you and I receive you into my heart. Just say it out loud, say it in your heart. That's the decision that you make that begins from this moment on the most incredible relationship you can have with the most amazing, loving God in the universe, through his Son, Jesus Christ. Just remember that God loves you. He will never give up on you. Amen. And at Hartford City Church, we believe that this is just the beginning point. This is not the finish line, but the starting line. And so we want to help you grow in your faith in Jesus Christ. So if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, if you've given your life to Christ, we want to help you grow in Christ. So I'm going to ask you, while everyone's still in prayer, to just raise your hand if you prayed that prayer to receive Christ. And my friend Phil is going to give you a card, and we're going to have you fill out that card, and we're going to get in touch with you and pray with you and give you some more resources to follow Christ. Okay, so go ahead. He's going to take a minute to get around, but just raise your hand, okay, if you want to receive Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. If this is your moment. Maybe you've done it before, but this is your moment to recommit. Maybe you've been running away from God for a long time. If you want to recommit your life to Christ, just raise your hand and you can fill out one of these cards too. And we'll help you in your faith. So just continue to pray. We're going to give Phil a minute to get to everybody. We just ask you to begin. If there's anyone else, this morning. But I also want to bring an invitation and a challenge to those of you that do believe in Jesus Christ, who've been Christians. What does God need to change in your heart? Because if you are a Christian, then the person for you in this story is Jonah. And God might be asking you, why are you so angry? Is there any hatred or bitterness in your heart? Is there anything that needs to change inside of you? Whatever it is. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us even in this moment? And just speak to us the words that we need to hear as your followers, as your children. And I invite you, if you're a Christian, to follow Christ, to listen to what God is saying to you in this moment, right now. God has laid on my heart today that there are many of us here in this place who are trying to do things on our own strength and in our own way. I just want to invite you to just call on God. Just say, God, I commit myself to following you. I'm not going to keep trying this on my own. Would you just pray that prayer of surrender this morning? God, would you give us the strength to follow you? Change our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you so much, Jesus. Lord, I give you thanks today for your great love. Lord God, I give you thanks for a love that never ends, never fails, never quits, never gives up. Thank you, God, for pursuing me to the very ends of the earth, to the very lowest of the low, to the highest of the high, God. I want to receive your love this morning. I want to stop and just feel your arms around me, God. Lord, we pray for our enemies this morning. We pray for people that we think are our enemies. Lord, we pray for those that we have a hard time loving, God, because we know that you love them, God. So we lift them up to you this morning, God, and pray that we would be a people of true love, that we would speak the truth. Lord God, if we are like the people of Nineveh, if there's anything we need to change in our lives, God, speak to us. Tell us what we're doing wrong, God, that we may stop today what we're doing wrong, God. If any of you need that word, just say, God, I stop today what I'm doing that I know is wrong, God. And I will change my life, and I will change my thoughts, and I will change my heart, and I will follow you, Lord God, with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. I pray that in Jesus' name. This place will be full of women and men, children, who are following you, God, who are leaving behind the ways of wickedness in the world, trusting in the ways of love, in the ways of God. Hallelujah. I pray that for each and every person in this place. I want to thank everyone, amen, for coming today and hearing this message of hope and love. Thank you for coming if you were invited, and thank you for inviting me this morning. Again, I want to give you just a moment, an opportunity to respond. If you want to fill out a connection card, even if you're just visiting with us from somewhere else and you'd like our newsletter just to stay in touch and know how to pray for us, just fill out a card this morning. I'm going to give you a moment right now to fill that out. And if you need a card, if it's not next to you, just ask somebody to pass it to you. There's also a place for prayer requests. Does anyone have a prayer request today? You could share it with us and our leadership, and we'll pray for you during the week. any requests that you might have. So go ahead, take a moment to take the card if you'd like to fill it out, the Connect card. Again, you can text the information later if that's easier to do or something you want to do. I just want to give you a moment to do that. And we thank you again for joining us and being with us. We also want to thank you for your support of Hartford City Church. We have many people that support us through finances, and many people here that supported us in the beginning. And I want to say thank you so much. You can see how God has blessed you with and blessed the offering. So at this time, I wanted to tell you that we collect our offering by putting it in the pots, because we're a growing church plant, so we have pots. And it'll be at both doors if you'd like to give an offering this morning, a gift. If you tithe, if you'd like to give your tithe this morning, you can also give online, and we want to thank everybody that gives online. So sometimes when you give online, you don't get to actually put something in the pot, but we thank you for giving online. So you can just, we give you thanks for that, and thank you for being willing to do that and support us. And we certainly are in a time where we really are using every bit of financial support that we need. I mean, we need to grow in our finances, as every church does. At the end of the year, we're looking for God to provide in a good way. And we just know that God will provide for us. The Lord calls us to be generous. And that's what I preach. I preach generosity. You know, I don't preach anything other than God has said, give in your heart what you've decided to give. Not because you have to, but because you get to. Because God loves you and you're full of greatness to God and overflow. And don't just give a certain amount, give more. And give more and more and more, so that your generosity will never even touch the generosity of God towards us. And we believe that when we are generous with God, we discover that God has been and continues to be and is even more generous towards us. The Bible says those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly, but those who sow generously will reap generously. So I invite you to be as generous as you are able. And also know that we do everything we can to help through partners in Hartford and to provide for those who are in need. So we thank you for those gifts that you give to our benevolent fund and the ways that we're able to use those to help people who are in need or connect people with those resources. So I just want to thank you for that and remind you of the opportunity to give this morning. So let me say a prayer for that. Lord God, I pray that as we give offering this morning, God, you would bless it, that you provide for everything that we need. Lord, I pray that your generosity would overflow into each and every family here, each and every person here, God. But also, Lord, I pray that you continue to fill this place with people, God. I pray that in the next few months we would see every seat in this place filled, God, so that we may proclaim the good news. Thank you, Lord God, for all your goodness. Amen.